Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
That was pretty cool.
Yep.
Presented by Rice University, Jones Graduate School of Business MBA Program. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media Station. An ESPN 97.5 Road Show. Live from Twin Peaks on 290 at Pinemont. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at Lance Zerline, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. Miss the first 2 hours? Well, you missed some Barry Laminack. He filled in for a little bit.
Yep.
And you missed some great stuff from Lance Zerline, the legend that is Lance Zerline.
Oh.
So we'll keep you up to date on we've already talked about the early NCAA games, but we've got Florida and Nevada now underway.
See John Calipari's breaking news about Kentucky basketball player injuries and stuff like that on Twitter.
Yeah. So I'm real interested to see how Kentucky does because I kind of feel really good about – well, I think UH isn't going to have any problems with Georgia State. I feel pretty good about Iowa State. Kentucky's a different animal.
Actually, I don't know if that was John. That was probably his son. But
yeah, it's – you know, who knows. Or some guy that, you know, they hired to get players for him. So – You were asking about the herpes story.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, like, I mean, I always thought being an astronaut might be the coolest thing ever.
Right.
Other than doing a radio show. Well, apparently, thanks to stuff like, ridiculously cold temperatures, radiation, a lot of astronauts are coming back to Earth with an incurable virus that is basically a space herpes.
And it's incurable?
Incurable.
And what does it do to?
Being in space.
Yeah, but how do you... I mean, obviously it just manifests itself on
your skin.
Well, here's what
it says. To date, 47 out of the 89 astronauts on short space shuttle flights and 14 of 23 on longer ISS missions picked up herpes viruses in their saliva or urine samples.
So they can't be excited about it being called herpes.
No.
Space herpes.
No, I mean, I'm calling space herpes.
Yeah.
It's herpes that they got from space. Now, it could be that all these astronauts are just banging and one of them had it and they're spreading it around.
I got a feeling that's not it.
It's like working in a restaurant, right? Like everybody sort of passes everybody around. And so if one person gets a disease, the entire place does.
Is that what being an astronaut's like, working at a restaurant?
I don't know. I've never been an astronaut, so I can't
Less customer service oriented, probably.
Probably, yeah. You're more interested in servicing yourself, I'm
sure. Can you
sure.
pick up my shift? No, you're going to be gone for like 4 months.
I'm not feeling well. I might have the space herpes.
Yeah, I'm not picking up your stupid-ass shift, Kevin.
Oh, man.
I've got something to do over the next 4 months, and I don't feel like getting your stupid space herpes.
And then everybody tries to figure out who they got it from and who it started with. And
how do you like trying to sell that to the wife when you get back?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You said you're in space and you come back with herpes? I swear it's space herpes. There's no chance she's buying that.
No.
No chance she's buying space herpes.
No.
No, listen, serious. The atmosphere and the temperature, yeah. You were
the radiation, yeah.
Tell me what stripper it was. It's not a stripper. It's space herpes.
Maybe it was an alien prostitute.
God.
That's the wife would believe alien prostitute more than she would believe, you know, basically just getting it from space, right?
She would believe stripper first.
Or unless there was like a glory hole in the side of the shuttle.
Oh, that's terrible. That's the worst,
just a
thing
thought.
Said up to this point.
Well, okay, it's still early yet. We still have 54 minutes.
I know.
Now I feel challenged to top that.
It could get potentially worse.
Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
No upset yet, huh? No big ones?
No,
yes.
Not really.
We have one.
We had a couple close calls that were really interesting. But
not unless you count Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 over 7 is
no,
not.
It's not, not an upset.
Yeah.
It's a flip-flop, though. For people who just pick chalk.
Yeah.
But you made a lot of really good brackets so far.
I would think so. Well,
I think Nevada's going.
I'm pretty sure I missed with Belmont on mine. I'm pretty sure I missed on the two almost upsets.
A lot of people.
I had New Mexico State and yeah. I had Belmont.
I think a lot of people that Belmont's going to be their pick.
In honor of Aaron. So thank you for bleeping up my bracket already.
I do what I can. It bleeped up my bracket too.
So remember how they were telling us it was safe, that we didn't have to worry about Chemical Cloud Stanley after that fire? Well, now apparently there's this something. We have benzene levels that are through the roof that are now raising health concerns because of this cloud.
Is that why all the I've been seeing all this?
That's
benzene
why benzene
stuff
is trending on Twitter and it's on TV, yes.
What does this mean to me? Just break it down.
I don't know. It means we might all die.
Well, how? Tell me how I'm going to die. I don't mind a death, just I don't want it to be bad.
If it's a chemical, I'm going to guess that you slowly get sick and then your lungs quit working.
Yeah, I'm not interested in any of that.
And then your body stops working and then you melt.
No interest.
That would be my guess. I don't know. I don't do chemicals. I don't know benzene. Sounds like something that would be in my toothpaste. But
sounds like something Walter White would use to kill somebody.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's dangerous again. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you, people, for telling us that we were safe.
Look, it wasn't going to change my – was it really going to change you one way or another?
Are
you going to walk around with a mask on like an Asian woman at the Galleria? And every time I see it, I'm like, I feel like they know something I don't know. I feel like I need to be wearing a mask right now. Why are you wearing a mask and I'm not?
I don't know that a mask helps you with this stuff. So
I'm just going to wear one anyway. I'm going to wear one to the show tomorrow. Just let just see how he responds. I'm going to guess not well.
A lot of people tell me it causes cancer.
Oh.
Wonderful.
There's a lot of stuff going on like
Other than
space herpes.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Space herpes pretty bad. I'm not so sure. Now, I grew up like 2 miles from refineries, so I probably sucked into my lungs everything that could happen.
No.
Antibody is living inside you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why I'm impervious to hangovers, is because I have a high benzene count. And one of my female friends texted me to say, great, now I have to knock astronauts off my sexy list. Thanks for that.
Yep.
Well, listen, better you learn now than later.
Yep.
Go to the doctor.
Incurable.
Yeah, and you go, oh, you've got space herpes. Have you been on the space station? It's like, no, I've been on someone who was on the space station. By the way, guys, apparently the stream's down. Can we check on that?
You know, when I watch John Morant, I just can't help but think that he's going to be – I mean, I'm not advocating taking him ahead of Zion Williamson. Look what he did today, 17 points, 11 rebounds, 16 assists. Everything he does is explosive and looks high-end on the next level. Like, I feel like he is a lock to be a great player.
AJ compared him to a younger Russell Westbrook.
That's exactly
earlier
who he
this
is.
Week.
You know, I was thinking Stevie Francis, But you know, when I've watched him, I've seen people explosive like that. Russell Westbrook, Steve Francis, LeBradford Smith, who's old school.
That's going way back in the day.
Yeah, but I mean, whenever I saw a guy who just all of a sudden when he leaped, it was just jet fuel. And Morant is maybe the most explosive. Russell is exactly who he is. It's exactly like Russell Westbrook without as much crazy.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of him. I started paying more attention after AJ was talking about him. And, man, that's a...
Oh, man, he is unbelievably explosive.
Yeah.
And he's just talented all the way around.
Well, obviously, we know he's going number one, but that wouldn't be a bad consolation prize for somebody.
RJ Barrett, they've got, you know, there's four really good draft picks this year. Maybe I just think this is going to go down as one of the most. It's going to be the LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Bosh later, and then who was Carmelo? Yeah.
Yeah.
1, 2, 4. Or no. 2 was the stiff from Detroit. Or was he 3?
That was Darko.
Was 3.
Yeah, he was 3.
Darko was 3. 2 was Carmelo, and then 4 was Wade.
Yeah.
I think that's what this draft is going to be. Like high-end Hall of Fame talent is my guess.
That'd be pretty cool. Hey, did you see this guy tried to rob the Bellagio?
No.
All right. We've all seen this in the movies.
It's impossible.
You cannot rob a casino.
Right.
Here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to walk in with a gun to the poker cage in the Bellagio, rob it, then go outside and try to carjack someone.
It doesn't feel like that's well thought out.
Well, that's what Michael Charles Cohen, who's 49 years old, did.
So he got all the way out there, outside?
He got outside.
That was a big upset in the first place.
But then 4 police officers noticed it and rushed over to him. He fired at them, hits an officer in the who was wearing a vest. They returned fire. Apparently, he got away with it in 2017.
He got away with it where?
At the Bellagio. Same thing. Why go back? If you actually got away with this,
shame.
Why go back? Because his disguise at the time consisted of a black beanie, jacket, and glasses. He did the same thing. He's been convicted on 2 counts of bank robbery in 99.
How did they let that happen within 2 years?
I don't know. He had basically walked into the casino on Friday, robbed the poker cage at gunpoint, and then fled out of the north entrance with cash and casino chips. Here's something that makes it even worse. Unfortunately for him, the Bellagio was already crawling with police at night as they were investigating an unrelated missing child case. Oh, man. So they caught him outside the valet lot where he was trying to steal a vehicle. And it ended badly. Fortunately, the officer had a bulletproof vest on. But the suspect, not so lucky. So he is...
Did he get hurt?
Oh, he's not hurting anymore.
Oh, okay.
Because he's in the morgue.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me it ended with them getting some first aid to him and everything was fine.
Nope. It ends with him being dead.
Oh, imagine that.
That guy belongs in the dumbass report. Can't believe he got away with it.
You were going to be dead one way or another when you rob a casino.
Well, the one thing I've noticed the last few times I've been out there.
Less mobby?
Less mobby, but also, like, there. I was in the MGM and I was walking by one of the little stores there, and there were these two guys that were fighting in the store, and one of them accidentally punched the clerk. And, like, I had to run around for a minute to try to find security to get them there.
Oh, wow.
And by the time they got there, the woman's on the ground bleeding, and they dragged the two guys off. But, I mean, I mean, I was a little drunk, so maybe I ran by a security officer, but I don't think so. All right, we're going to take quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on 290 at Pinemont, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here from Twin Peaks on 290. Lance Erlein filling in for A.J. And I've got a story that came across today that I kind of wanted to get your opinion on because I think there's a... Is there still music playing? Okay. I didn't realize that. Well, I did realize that. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't having a brain tumor. I think you'd have some insight into this because I think most people know by now your dad, longtime, longtime coach.
Yeah.
Offensive
college
line mostly,
pro,
right?
Yeah. High school, Lamar Consolidated, too.
Yeah. Did work with Bruce Arians once, right? Uh-huh. So I know you know a little bit about Bruce.
He worked with Bruce at Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Arizona.
Okay. Did you see that Bruce Arians...
Two females?
Hired two females today.
I saw that. I was a little surprised, but he had one in Arizona, I know.
So he's just doubling it.
I didn't see what the positions were.
Well, let me pull it up here and I'll tell you. I got distracted briefly.
One is assistant strength coach. I know that.
Yeah.
And then I think the other one is an assistant offensive line?
Defensive line coach.
Defensive yeah. line.
Assistant D-line?
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. Okay. I don't want to drag you into any comments that will get
right.
you in trouble. So, but here's my thought on this. And as a son of a coach, I'm asking you in that capacity. Uh-huh. You don't have to have played the game to be a coach.
Right.
You have to understand the game.
Right.
You have to be able to spot things that are going wrong and correct them. And, you know, Mike Leach never played football. He's pretty good at coaching.
Most coaches have played at a certain level.
Yeah, but.
Not necessarily deep, but most coaches have.
But I think with any sport, if you study it enough and you learn from people who know what they're talking about,
mm-hmm.
who tell you, hey, this is the proper technique, and you can spot when people are not doing the proper technique and teach the proper technique, then does it really matter whether you're male or female if you're coaching?
Yes. Here's why. It doesn't matter. What's not male or female, it's do they respect you? And there's lots of male coaches that don't get the respect. There's lots of good male coaches who don't get respect based on whatever the room is. You could have a pain-in-the-ass locker room lawyer who's a veteran who's salty about a contract who poisons the room against you. It's already hard enough for coaches who have been doing it for years to get the respect of a room. Especially, my dad had come from college into the pros, so he was worried about, you know, well, this guy's a college coach.
Right.
What does he know? And then he had to go to Pittsburgh, where Alan Faneca was kind of a poison pill in there for a little while because his coach had been, you know, was gone. What's his name? I can't remember the anyway, the coach who was – Russ Grimm had gone.
Yeah.
So he was like a big pain in the ass and was kind of trying to poison the whole locker room. And then when he was gone, things got a lot better. But it's hard enough. So in theory, you're right, as long as you technique it. But it's hard for a 20-something-year-old man to say, how are you telling me there are coaches who have a hard enough time if they never played a position but they're coaching a position, even if they were a wide receiver and they're coaching O-line, how are you telling us how to play O-line? You have to deal with that on a regular basis. I hear these stories all the time. And so it's already hard enough. I just think it's going to be extremely difficult for a female coach to get the respect that all coaches should deserve. And especially with this generation, Fred, it's a lot more – it is a very challenging of authority generation right now. And that's something I'm hearing more and more from different coaches and different people who are around the sports.
Oh, let's go to our man, AJ. I already would know his opinion on this, so we can move on. But
are you sure you do?
Oh, yeah. What's going on, AJ?
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, we're doing
it. Lance found the right Twin Peaks, huh?
Yeah, I didn't know there was like three of them.
there's
I think
more
there's like
that.
Six.
Oh, there's six in Houston?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. On my phone, it showed me three.
So what's happening in Vegas, man?
Not much. Crazy first day of the tournament. Obviously, you guys have seen the dogs are a barking early on. I think underdogs 7-1 in the early games today. So,
wow.
There's a lot of upset. Well, not upset, but at least from an ATS standpoint, the dogs are getting it done.
Yeah, no big upset yet in terms of wins, but we did have a couple close ones. And unfortunately, I was on the short end. New Mexico State and Belmont I had in my bracket. But at least we had some close finishes there.
Yeah, that New Mexico State finish was insane. And that kid, he's going to have a hard time when he gets – he might have a hard time getting laid when he gets back to Las Cruces because he missed two out of three to win the freaking tournament game. That's not a good look.
Yeah, that was pretty awful. So what do you like tonight? You got anything that you guys talked about on Straight Out of Vegas that you want to share with
people? Yeah, I'm on Walker tonight. I also like the over in that game. So that's the game I'm going to be looking for. Wofford.
Oh, Wofford. Okay.
And then we talked a lot about the games tomorrow. And one of the things that we kind of came to a consensus on was the under in the Utah State-Washington game. Both teams probably going to throw the score a little bit. Utah State seeing that Syracuse-style zone. And Washington wants to score inside, but Utah State has a 7-footer that just doesn't let you get in there. So they're going to be forced to shoot, and they can't shoot. So it should be a pretty low-scoring game if you're looking for something.
I tell you, honestly, you know, I used to, as you know, Fred, I used to be very involved with handicapping. That was how I actually got into even the radio business. The first thing I did was handicap. I learned how to handicap from a guy who taught me the math of power ratings and how to manipulate them and blah, blah, blah. And he learned from Tony Salinas, old school in Vegas. And so anyway, the one thing that I can honestly say is when you're dealing with people who do that for a living, who try to handicap, which means to analyze versus a set number, they're going to be the sharpest people about what they're watching. I mean, they're going to – because you have to take in defensive strategy, strengths and weaknesses of a team, strengths and weaknesses of potential individual matchups. You have to balance how you have played over, especially in a tournament, how you've played on the season versus how you're playing in the last however many games. Sometimes it's just as simple as how you played in your conference tournament because you just catch a heater. And can you ride it into the tournament and go deep? So I just feel like the handicapping guys, even if you don't care about point spread, they can give you the best analysis in most cases of all the different sports.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that'll work just for your brackets. You know, you listen to those wise guys and just filling out your bracket. And a lot of the times you can look at the point spreads to figure out, oh, well, this is a team that, you know, maybe they're in trouble. And when you talk about – like if there's a 5 seed against a 12 seed, and there's a good case of that is Villanova tonight, or maybe it's 6 or 11. I'm not sure, but Villanova they were a 6-point favorite. It's down to like 2.5, 3.5. I mean, there's a lot of stuff saying that, and the defending champions might be in trouble against a team that if they wouldn't have won their conference tournament would be in the NIT right now. So. That's a game I'm going to be watching tonight, too, because, yeah, a lot of these guys know. Vegas knows what's going on. They know what's close.
Hey, one game I wanted to ask you about, we found out Syracuse losing a guard and also getting a guy back.
Yeah.
Any opinion on that game? Does that change anything for you, or is it just to stay away from because both those teams seem kind of awful?
No, I like Baylor from the beginning. I don't like either one of those teams, really, but with that matchup, I like Baylor. It's an offense versus defense matchup. But with Syracuse, you know, without that guard, I think they're going to have a tough time moving the ball around. And obviously, they're a big team. They're going to be probably a more intimidating team than most of what Baylor's seen in the Big 12. But I think they'll find a way to work around it. That was enough to make me bet the game, Howard being out. So I don't love it, but if I had to make a play on the defensive side, I'd be on.
All right, that's A.J. Hoffman, who's out in Vegas. You get any poker in yet?
Not yet, man. I've been too busy. I didn't lose money playing blackjack last night, though. So
that's an absolute first for you on a first night in Vegas.
I think so. I think I'm like plus $75. So it's I would have walked away plus 275, but I was like, you know what? Let me play about 10 more hands on the way out, 25 apiece, and I lost about 8 of them.
No, I've never seen you do that before, so.
Yeah, it never happens.
All right, man. Well, thanks for checking in. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and enjoy the rest of your night in Vegas.
All right, man. Enjoy the scenic views.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, A.J. Hoffman, who will be back at studio on Monday. Why am I disappearing here?
Me too.
I don't hear myself. What the heck's happening?
All
right, well, let's
we're still on air, so you're good.
Well,
there.
Let's just go to break because I can't hear myself.
It's probably just a speaker.
And it's break time anyway, so we'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, and we'll be right back.
This is the Blitz, on ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on 290 at Pinemont. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So Baby Dwight told me that we had a British listener who was offended from earlier, who was a loyal listener. I'll just say, if you were a loyal listener, then you have a sense of humor. So, there are going to be some people very upset about this. I do not know what to say. All right, Aaron had a question for
Lance.
Yeah,
before we were interrupted by AJ.
Oh,
rude.
Only the star of the show checking in from Vegas.
No, I was going to go, when we were talking about female coaches and not getting the respect, I brought up to Lance, if this wasn't Bruce Arians, if this was a coach like Bill Belichick, because we saw Popovich do it with Becky Hammon, and you know Popovich, when she came in, probably sat down the Spurs locker room and said, if you don't do what she says, I can find somebody to replace you. If Belichick did the same thing and said and was the pioneer for the NFL and said, I've got two female coaches coming in, you don't do what they say, I can find somebody off a scrap heap who will do exactly what you say, do you think it would change faster? And they would get more respect faster than, say...
I think just in that particular spot. Like, I don't think it's going to make a league-wide change. I get that there is a societal changes happening. It is not happening in football like that. They'll try to make it look like, and you might think there are. That sport is just it's different. There's still the primal physicality, and did you play it, and do you know have a shared experience? Because a lot of what they go through is mentally challenging, and it's physically challenging. And if you're a coach who can say, I've been there, I know what you're going through, it just resonates with more players. It's just – and it's and you know what? That's life. Like in anything in life, if you can tell – if you can empathize with someone that you're trying to advise, it makes it easier. Mentor, you know, in some cases. But I do think that is a unique situation. I think basketball is a little more unique than football. You have that opportunity. But it does take that personality. Like, that's where it could potentially – you got the best shot with Greg Popovich and with Bill Belichick or, I mean, you know, Nick Saban on the collegiate level.
Yeah.
It takes a big personality that's had a ton of success. Well, I say big personality. It takes, a big alpha with a lot of success. What I say goes. And a guy who's respected across the board, it would take that, yeah. That gives the best shot.
Okay. Sorry to hijack your show, Fred.
I think that's a good question, though, because, you know, my dad was on the staff when Jen Seltzer, I can't remember, is that her name that was with the Arizona Cardinals? She was the first one to come in 3 years ago in training camp, and that was a really, really big deal. We talked a little bit about it, and he said, yeah, she works hard. You know, I think she had played women's professional football, so it's not like she didn't have any kind of a background. But like I said, it's hard enough if you come from being a coach for years and years of experience on the collegiate level, just making a move up, you're going to face challenges.
So not to spin it into an entire conversation about this because we're coming up to break anyway, but Jessica Mendoza getting hired by a team after what she did on TV. and frankly, I think she's outstanding.
I think she's great.
I think she knows more about baseball than at least half the people playing it right now. if you have somebody that outstanding, could it be different? Where they get the respect from seeing them on TV?
Yeah. I mean, maybe so, yeah.
Now, to be fair, Beth Mowins ain't getting a coaching job anytime soon.
But that's how you create credibility. You got to create credibility somewhere. How do you create – in everything, you got to create credibility. Sometimes you start from the very beginning and you build it slowly. That's hard in the NFL to start at the NFL to build your credibility. Like, I always felt like Pat Summitt could have gone to the NBA and probably done okay.
Yeah, because she was scary.
Yeah, and Pat Summitt was a champ. Like, Pat Summitt was a – I don't think – and she was well-known, like, well-respected. I think Pat Summitt could have coached in the NBA, and I don't know about having success, but I think she would have been listened to.
I think that would have never happened back then if she were Pat Summitt now. Like, if she were still alive and still, you know, young enough to do it, I bet she would get a shot. I bet she could do it. Uh-huh. But 20 years ago when she was in her heyday, that was never happening.
No.
So –
No, and she had a good, you know, she had a good job. That was a pretty sweet game.
Well,
she
yeah,
had too.
Yeah. It's like, why would Geno ever leave UConn?
No, you get the best players, you beat up on everybody, you make good money, and rinse and repeat
and
every
then
year.
And then you can pretend like you're one of the all-time great coaches, mm-hmm. because you're in a sport where if you're dominant, it's a lot easier to win. Scarball's asked, I know it's not sexy, but what's harder, betting on games in the tournament or betting games in the NIT? I actually think the NIT is easier. I pick a couple every year.
You got to find who's ready to play.
Right. Who wants to be there, who doesn't. It's almost like bowl games.
It's emotional.
Yeah. There are teams that, oh, this is a huge deal. We've got the University of Texas coming to our campus.
It's less matchup oriented and more emotions oriented.
Yeah, definitely. And then text cheers from Four Roses Nick and Chris Hart. You guys should have brought us something down here. Just saying. All right.
What happened?
The Nick from Four Roses and Chris, you haven't been in on the whiskey podcast yet, have you?
No, is that the whiskey podcast?
Dude, you need to do that.
You guys get lit and do
we
shows.
We did it one time, and I slept in my office.
I remember listening to one of the shows, like, and I knew you guys had been in there, and I was just thinking, oh, this should not be on radio.
We made it work. We made it work. That's what champions do. You know, every now and then, you've got to push yourself a little bit. Like, I can always come here and do a show completely
sober. Charles Barkley went to a topless bar and got plastered the night before and passed out. Now, I think he called.
Oh,
No. Yeah, he played. He played. He didn't shoot well. No, he still ended up with like 16 rebounds, I remember.
Our guy who was covering the Rockets at the time called me the next morning, said, I'm really worried that Charles isn't going to be there because it's an afternoon game and we were out until 4 in the morning.
Murph?
No, it wasn't Murph.
Okay.
I'm not going to say who it was.
Because Murph might have hung out a little bit.
Yeah, but Murph didn't travel with the team.
Oh, okay.
So, but he tells me this, and then I go to watch, and there's Charles a minute into the game, and he's just sweating profusely.
Before he's even gotten in?
Yeah, I mean, he just got on the court, and you could just tell that guy was so hungover. And he wound up scoring like 24 points.
Just sweating Grey Goose. So I know somebody who knows him pretty well. When he goes to Vegas, it's nothing but Grey Goose and McNuggets. Like he makes the limo drive through McDonald's drive through to get chicken McNuggets.
Well, I'm not going to make fun of anybody for answering the bell while hungover because I've done it many times. One last thought says 479 says it's easier for me to break down situations with my employees when they struggle because I'm able to discuss the same situations that I have been in. Although, again, you went to school with teachers who didn't actually do it, who taught you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it can be done. I just, you know, I understand everybody's concerns. Kentucky 26, Abilene Christian 10. Gonzaga 20, Farley Dickweed 6. And I don't know what the Florida score is because they're at halftime. But I think Florida was up 3 last I saw. All right, we're going to take a quick break. This show's almost over. This sucks. Right when I feel like, oh, man, we're really having fun here, I look up, 1 segment left. This has been happening way too much lately. And, no, I don't want a fourth hour. Let's just start with that.
By the way, Florida up 9.
9?
Yeah.
Good, okay. That's
you're going to your Nevada second half. I
feel very good about that one. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Wow.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on 290 at Pinemont. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One final segment with Lance Erline filling in. I really appreciate Barry Laminack yesterday. He's going to fill in tomorrow. And this has been a lot of fun having Lance Erline on the show because he is a legend. And this is where we usually do Hoffman on Hollywood, but since he's not here, we'll do Falcon on famous people instead. I know you're a Game of Thrones guy, because another thing that I got into because of Lance Erline, I heard you talking about it on the air one day.
Oh, yeah?
About halfway through season one. Immediately started binge-watching. And
it's fantastic.
And now I'm a nerd, right?
You know, it's funny how many people... Oh, it seemed a little slow, the very first episode. And then the kid gets kicked, and then Bran gets kicked out of the...
Yeah.
The top of the, you see the brother
the
and sister going at it, and the kid gets kicked out, and you realize, this show may have a little something going on.
It's on. Well, Kit Harington, better known as Jon Snow, now he's Aegon Targaryen or whatever, had to get therapy because of the end of the show. He said, "I took off the costume and felt like my skin was being peeled away. I was very emotional. It felt like someone was shedding me of something." He also said that he had trouble when he said, "My darkest period was when the show seemed to become so much about John. I really didn't like the focus of the whole show coming onto John, even though it was invalidating my problem about being the weak link because things were about John." John said, "When you become the cliffhanger of a TV show, and a TV show probably at the height of its power, the focus on you is bleeping terrifying. It wasn't a very good time in my life."
Wow.
You know what? What a...
Man.
My goodness. Dude.
It wasn't a very good time in
my life. You're like the biggest star, the biggest cliffhanger. I'd be out raking like a fiend, man.
Yeah.
I'd be like, "Look, I'm John Mother Bleeping Snow." What the hell? Are you a Deadpool fan?
Yeah, it's okay. I like one better than two.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds had a little fun with the Fox purchase of Disney. Because, you know, Deadpool's a little more out there. And basically tweeted out, "Time to uncork that explosive sexual tension between Deadpool and Mickey Mouse." And then he went, tweeted out a picture of him being arrested at the, in front of the palace at Disney World. And I can't read what he tweeted out, but it involved servicing the Matterhorn. And apparently how you can't do that. How about Stranger Things? You into that?
Yes.
Season 3 trailer's here, and it's fantastic if you haven't seen it. I didn't like Season 2. I loved Season 1.
Yeah.
Thought Season 2 was but
I'm the same way.
Excited about Season 3. And also, the first trailer for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is here. And I don't know if you're familiar with that. Quentin Tarantino is directing. It's the Manson murders.
Oh, wow.
Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio, Margot Robbie. Al Pacino, James Marsden, Timothy Oliphant, Kurt Russell, and Burt Reynolds before he died, all in the movie. So I cannot.
You got Burt in there?
Yeah. All right, that's going to wrap it up. I want to thank my man Aaron for keeping us on air. Nikki Six back in studio, also keeping us on air. Lance Erline for doing a fantastic job. Man, this was fun. Barry Laminack, also appreciate you. I did okay today. I keep my job for another day. We'll see you at the...
You still got a job.
Yeah, Twin Peaks on Kirby tomorrow. Until then, stay sportsy, bitches.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!